Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It's a Thursday morning, so today's column comes from the 2011 archives. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. This is the story of a little-known hero, the hero of Silver Lake, a woman named Lucinda Schroeder, who saved dozens of people from dying in the legendary Christmas Eve Community Center fire. She literally ran inside and blocked the door open with her body. This story was first published on July 10th of 2011. Here we go. Being a real hero has a lot to do with luck. Bad luck. After all, if everything is peaches and cream, a hero's services are not usually needed. It's only when something awful happens that ordinary people find themselves suddenly forced to make an extraordinary choice to try to save themselves or to try to save others. Sometimes those heroes die, and few others ever know what they really did. And that is, more or less, what happened to the woman who is probably the most significant hero in the history of the community of Silver Lake. Here's the story, much of which you'll probably already be familiar with if you've ever lived in Central Oregon. On Christmas Eve, 1894, nearly the entire population of Silver Lake and the surrounding ranches was crammed into a 1,200-square-foot room above the Chrisman Brothers Mercantile. There were a total of 175 to 200 people in the hall. The night was bitter cold, about 20 degrees below zero, but the room was nice and toasty. The Christmas Tree program was being staged, starring the kids of the community and centering around a big Christmas tree piled with presents. Benches made of planks perched on chunks of wood had been set up so that the audience members could sit down and watch. Around 8 p.m., one of the men in attendance got up to go outside and, finding his way blocked, hopped up on one of those benches to get around the crowd. As he made his way to the door, his head clipped one of the hanging kerosene lamps. Burning oil sloshed out of the lamp, covered it, dripped to the floor, and fire surged to the ceiling. The first of the evening's heroes leaped into action. Francis Chrisman, the owner of the place, leaped up and grabbed the lamp. Remember, it was essentially a fireball at the time, and ignoring the burning oil blistering his hands and arms, started for the exit with it. But there were too many people in the hall, and some of them were trying to help. People batted at Chrisman's arms with coats, trying to smother the flames, and knocked the lamp from his hands, where, of course, it emptied the rest of its oil onto the floor, burning fiercely, and there was no stopping that fire after that. People started for the exit, but there was only one exit, and it was at the bottom of a narrow corridor with a door that opened inward. As panic rose in the room above, people at the top of the stairs started shoving, desperate to leave. The pressure threatened to force the door closed and pin people against it like water fetching up against the check valve in a pump. And that certainly would have happened if it had not been for the major hero of the evening, a woman named Lucinda Schroeder. This intrepid woman, having escaped early, recognized the danger and forced her way into the doorway, where she blocked the door open with her body, grabbing people as they came by and shoving them toward the street. At least 100 people escaped from the blaze through the front door. Given how the exit was set up and the rising panic and the people still trapped inside, it's hard to imagine how more than a dozen or so of these lucky souls would have escaped without her help. It's not clear how Schroeder died. She may have been trampled to death. She may also have tried to go upstairs into the burning building thinking her husband was inside and hoping to get him out, although she certainly couldn't have made any headway against the crush of people trying to come down the stairs. She might have gotten far enough along for the door to close behind her and seal her doom. In any event, survivors in the street at one point looked up and saw the door closed and no sign of her. When the end came, the death toll was staggering in percentage terms. Out of a population in Silver Lake Valley of little more than 200, 40 people were dead, and another several dozen badly burned. By this time, another hero of the moment was already in action. Local cowboy Ed O'Farrell, well before the fire had burned out, was on his horse and galloping through the snow and freezing weather toward Lakeview, 100 miles away, to get Dr. Bernard Daly. O'Farrell left well before midnight on Christmas Eve, and after a 19-hour ride through snow that sometimes got quite deep, got to Lakeview around 4 p.m. Christmas afternoon. One source reports that O'Farrell actually ruined the horse he was riding because he was pushing it so hard. Daly, within an hour, was on his way in a buggy pulled by the best horses in town. They stopped for fresh teams at Paisley and Summer Lake. O'Farrell had made arrangements on the way so that Daly and O'Farrell were able to get back to Silver Lake in just 13 hours, arriving at 6 a.m. Daly was able to save the lives of all but three of the burn victims. His quick action and success won him statewide recognition, and a medical journal published his account of how he treated the victims. It was a full 10 years before the community of Silver Lake held another Christmas celebration. Almost every family in the town and surrounding ranches had lost at least one family member. 4 years later, a monument was installed in the town's cemetery, commemorating those who died in the fire. Lucinda Schroeder's name is on it, along with that of her 2-year-old son, Eston, who disobediently followed his mother back into the building when she went to block the door open. By the way, it was Central Oregon journalist Melanie Tupper who unearthed the story of Schroeder's heroism. Without her work, the story might have quietly disappeared into the archives of various small-town newspapers. But then, given the way true heroes so often feel about their actions, that might have suited Lucinda Schroeder just fine.
Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column published in a dozen or two of Oregon's wonderful community newspapers, an RSS feed to subscribe to on your smartphone newsreader, a series of live history shows, a Facebook page, and a couple other social media components as well. Tumblr blog, YouTube channel, Twitter feed, things like that. All of it is accessible through our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. Visual goodies and other resources that go with today's show can also be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources for this story, as well as more than 275 other Offbeat Oregon history columns written over the past 6 years since I've been doing these. Like this podcast, those articles are covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, please see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at www.atlasstringband.com. I do Offbeat Oregon for fun, to share something I love, and to learn new stuff. I don't ever want it to become a chore for me, something to dread, something like a J-O-B, if you know what I mean. Don't get me wrong, I love my job at OSU, but there are days I dread. Looking at you, finals week. Anyway, I don't sell advertising, and I don't ask for donations, but if you do enjoy the podcast and would like to support Offbeat Oregon, you might consider picking up a copy of my book. If you like this podcast, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll enjoy it. It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town. It was published in 2012 by the History Press, and you can pick up a copy at your neighborhood bookstore. It's also available as an audiobook download, narrated by yours truly, at audible.com. And finally, if you're ever in the neighborhood near Oregon State University, do drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee in the library coffee shop and talk history, and I'll be happy to show you around OSU's collection of Oregon history books, which is quite impressive. And by the way, if you're an Oregon resident, you can get a library card and book borrowing privileges at the library. Anyway, I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Our next show is going to be coming your way around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, which is Friday morning. That will be a brand new column just added to the website. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.